This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pinsham, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by JNS Spine on October 31st, 2014. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are the cervical spine, surgical technique, and oncology. Evaluation of glycerol-preserved bone allografts in cervical spine fusion, a prospective randomized controlled trial, a clinical article by Robert Scott Graham and colleagues. Human bone allografts are often used as interbody spacers for anterior cervical discectomy and fusion surgery. However, traditional methods of preservation have limited their ease of use because of the requirements of frozen storage or lengthy reconstitution in the case of freeze-dried grafts. In response, a glycerol preservation technology was developed to allow bone implants to be stored at room temperature and immediately used in surgery without thawing or reconstitution. To test this technology, a prospective randomized controlled trial was conducted to compare glycerol-preserved and freeze-dried allografts in 1-4 level anterior cervical discectomy and fusion surgery using Cloward dowels. In this study of over 100 patients, both treatment groups had more than 95% fusion at 6 months post-implantation, similar subsidence measurements, visual analog scale scores for pain, and frequency and severity of adverse events. The patients with glycerol-preserved allografts also exhibited significantly improved neck disability index scores, but this may not be clinically generalizable. In addition, glycerol helps to maintain biomechanical properties and is known to have antimicrobial and viral inactivation properties. In summary, glycerol preservation results in allografts that circumvent the storage and rehydration requirements of frozen and freeze-dried grafts. In this study, they exhibit at least equivalent clinical results. Delayed cervical palsy following cervical spine fusion leads to an increase in hospital-related costs. A clinical article by Ross Puffer and co-authors. Delayed cervical palsy, a well-recognized but poorly understood complication, can adversely impact the acute hospital stay and postoperative course after cervical fusion. In this study, the authors reviewed its effect on cost and length of stay using a matched case control design. The incidence of delayed cervical palsy in this study was 3.9%, consistent with the previously published incidence of approximately 5%. Using an institutional database that allows for standardization of costs, the authors discovered that delayed cervical palsy leads to approximately $3,000 of increased postoperative costs compared with normal controls. Surprisingly, these patients did not have an increased length of stay compared with controls. The increased cost is likely attributable to imaging studies obtained to rule out reversible causes, as well as physical therapy consultation. These findings have important implications in designing reimbursement models. Delayed cervical palsies have no definitive origin despite intelligible theories. Although the literature does suggest several predisposing factors, it is unclear as to whether prophylactic measures, such as foraminotomies or monitoring, make a difference. In the face of increasing pressure to minimize complications and contain costs, these models could potentially lead to withholding services or standardizing postoperative workup and care for unpreventable complications. factors affecting survival in 37 consecutive patients undergoing de novo stereotactic radiosurgery for contiguous sites of vertebral body metastasis from renal cell carcinoma. A clinical article by Jonathan Nicholas Sellin and co-workers. Palliative resection for renal cell carcinoma spinal metastasis is indicated in cases of neurologic compromise or mechanical instability, whereas conventional radiotherapy, or EBRT, is commonly used for pain control. Recently, spinal stereotactic radiosurgery, or SRS, has emerged as a safe alternative, delivering higher therapeutic doses of radiation to spinal metastases. To better understand factors affecting survival in patients undergoing spinal SRS for metastatic renal cell carcinoma, the authors identified patients harboring contiguous sites of vertebral body involvement who received upfront spinal SRS treatment between 2005 and 2012. 37 patients receiving treatment for 40 distinct contiguous sites of disease were included. Overall survival after spinal SRS ranged from 7.4 to 25.3 months, with a median of 16.3 months. On multivariate analysis, the following were all significant factors associated with worse overall survival: local progression of disease after spinal SRS, diagnosis of metastasis less than 12 months after diagnosis of the primary tumor, a Karnofsky Performance Scale score lower than 70, and a progression of systemic disease at the time of spinal SRS. Local progression, time between initial diagnosis of metastasis and diagnosis of the primary tumor, KPS score, and progressive metastatic disease should be taken into consideration when considering spinal SRS for patients with metastatic renal cell carcinoma. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.